Now, another BloomerBoomer.com podcast. Your host, Andy Asher, living life over 55. Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
But there is something different about tonight. There is something special about tonight. What is different? What is special? I, Barbara Jordan, am a keynote speaker. A lot of years passed since 1832, and during that time, it would have been most unusual for any national political party to ask a Barbara Jordan to deliver a keynote address. But tonight, here I am.
That is Barbara Jordan, died January 1996, an American politician, leader of the civil rights movement, first African-American elected to the Texas Senate, the first Southern black female elected to the United States House of Representatives, and first African-American woman to deliver the keynote address at the Democratic National Convention. As seniors, we built a past that has an effect on our present and on our future. But what happens when our past limits our potential? That can be at any age, but perhaps more so as we get older, as there is more of a past to deal with. To discuss that, we talk with Dr. Friedman Schaub, a physician specializing in cardiology and a PhD in molecular biology, who brings those two disciplines together and has discovered how much our emotions affect our physical health.
Certainly, you know, when I used to be in cardiology, I certainly saw that stress and anxiety was a major risk factor for cardiovascular diseases. But it was also a risk factor that was very much underappreciated and I think also undertreated. And so over time, it just became clear to me that we have to really start in order to maintain health and well-being to look more into our emotional challenges, looking into those challenges before they actually physically manifest in problems such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol. You know, it goes further and further down the line. You know, we know that stress, fear, and anxiety can cause autoimmune diseases, chronic pain, chronic fatigue. So what if we could actually really prevent those things from happening by understanding more how to deal with fear and anxiety? And so I became interested in really investigating what causes fear and anxiety, how do we even create it, and how can we uncreate it in a way that doesn't require for us to take medication, that doesn't require for us to maybe for, you know, decades sit with a psychologist and try to figure life out. Are there ways for us to change our mind and overcome anxiety that are holistic, but at the same time also self-empowering? And that's how this whole work kind of started to be.
So it sounds like you believe we do have the emotional and mental control over things such as fear and anxiety. In other words, they're not entirely driven from the outside.
No, I think we are reacting to input from the outside with fear and anxiety, and even though it doesn't seem sometimes like a choice, ultimately it is something we can choose. And, you know, there have been great studies about, for example, soldiers that are out there, you know, in Iraq or Afghanistan. Some people come back completely traumatized by an event, and people that were in exactly the same event could just, you know, basically brush it off and forget about it. And the difference what the study showed was their makeup on a psychological level, and, you know, ultimately on a subconscious level. And what that means is how much baggage, how much, you know, traumatic events had they already brought with them from, for example, their childhood to those events that later occurred then in the line of duty. And what they found is that people that had been already, you know, dealing with difficult times before and that had never really been able to resolve it, that they had a significantly higher likelihood of post-traumatic stress than people that, you know, didn't really have those imprints and anxiety programming from the past. And so that's really something where you can see the external world doesn't necessarily cause us to have the same reactions.
Well, that is certainly interesting, and particularly so because in many cases we're talking to people who have a few years and they've gone through a lot, and they may be bringing some more of those issues or baggage, as we call them, to bring into an emotional situation.
Yeah, and that's also something that I think is really important to look at, because the older we get, the more we are, you know, piling up emotional baggage. You know, our natural response when we are little, you know, babies, is to pretty much let it out. So when you feel anything, whether it's anger, scared, sad, you just express it. And that's, you know, obviously the natural and healthy way to release emotions, but you know, we are forgetting how to do this, and we are basically told we have to keep it together and not show these emotions, especially anxiety and fear, are not really acceptable. And so we pretend that we are, you know, calm and relaxed, and internally we are boiling, but we are pushing those emotions down, and eventually they are piling up. And many people I'm working with are, you know, in their 60s, 70s, that really feel like they are like a pressure cooker ready to explode. And that's certainly a very important aspect to deal with, to how can you actually find peace with the past and really feel like that you're able to overcome and ultimately resolve whatever, you know, difficult challenges. And this doesn't have to be traumatic events. It can be just, you know, problems that we haven't been able to wrap our mind around, situations that still, when we think about, cause us to be somehow in conflict with each other, with ourselves. All those things can cause us to be anxious and stressed, and the book and my work helps people to resolve those things and get a clean slate.
Perhaps you can share a little bit for our better understanding and to the types of issues that some of these patients of yours are dealing with that probably apply to other people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, often it's like the generalized anxiety that you just feel the threshold of you know, getting into a nervous, fearful response is very low. So, you know, there is constant worrying about, you know, the outcomes of any random event. There is, you know, the worrying about getting older or being alone, things that really don't necessarily have to do anything with the immediate present time, but are more worrying about the future. Then there are certainly also the post-traumatic stress, people that have been in difficult situations, that went through challenges and really feel still there is the impact from that within them. And then there is a large group of people that feel just lost, you know, and I think that's also for people that are, for example, retiring. Many people that have been really absorbed in their job or in their duties as, you know, mother or father, and then life changes, they become older, they retire, they lose a sense of self. It's almost like a loss of identity, and that can cause a lot of insecurity and anxiety because, you know, you really don't know what is my role in life, who am I supposed to be, and that sense of, you know, basically ungroundedness creates then these fearful responses that, you know, obviously can also be addressed and worked with.
Well, those are very real indeed. And in those examples that you cite, the retirement, the future, being tied to the identity of your work, how does one begin to get over that or to reach a different understanding of what life is like without having that?
You know, what we have to really look at first is that this anxiety isn't a logical intellectual construct. You know, if we could really solve the anxiety puzzle with our brains, well, most of us would have done it by now. But it's really something that comes from a deeper part of our mind that often doesn't necessarily make intellectual sense. You know, let's say you are retired and you have been really focusing on your career, and then you fall into this anxiety that you cannot really explain, because during your career you may have always looked forward to the times where you can stay longer in bed or just play golf or, you know, spend more time with your spouse. But when it's actually happening, all of a sudden something like an emptiness that creates these anxious feelings arises, and that comes from that deeper part of our mind, the subconscious. And you know, most people don't know how to work with the subconscious, and most people don't even really feel like that the subconscious is trustworthy. So the work that, you know, I describe in the book and that I'm offering is really about helping people to consciously not only be aware of the workings of the subconscious, but really helping the subconscious to heal from this anxiety. And there we are addressing very specific root causes that make that anxiety even, you know, possible to exist.
Well, in the case of someone who is facing retirement or has perhaps been in retirement, maybe a better example, for a short time and finally realizing what it's like, and now suddenly comes to the understanding that mowing the lawn and just idling your time and finding things to stay busy aren't all that it was cracked up to be. How do you answer those kind of concerns and frustrations?
Well, you know, one of the important things is that we basically need to have something to get motivated by. That means we have to really look towards something. So when you, for example, leave your career and your identity behind you, and your mind has nothing really to identify with, what you basically see is just a, you know, an empty page. And that's, for especially the subconscious, pretty scary, because the subconscious looks early on in our life, from pretty much the beginning of our existence, looks for things to hold on to identify, to belong. So what's important is that you are starting to really, you know, think about and design that what you actually want to grow into. Because just because you're retired doesn't mean you stop growing. You know, growing, we grow until we die. That's the law of nature. But many people feel like, well, after retirement, it's pretty much simply, you know, being idle and there is no more growth. And that's one of the common mistakes. So just looking into, what do you want to become? You know, do you want to become a person who, you know, gets really good in, you know, something that really you have not had time to get interested in? You know, do you want to be really good in your community and really be engaged there? Do you want a person who, you know, really takes better care of your body and really says, you know, I'm just going to get into this focus on taking care of my health? Maybe you are really interested in expanding on, you know, your more spiritual side and find out more what's to explore there. So just giving your mind and giving yourself some direction. It doesn't have to be just one direction. It can be just an array of directions to go to, already makes your mind more curious about the future, rather than seeing it more like an empty page. And that in itself can already be a big relief.
Certainly. And fear and anxiety, it can manifest itself in so many ways for people over 50. And one of those is that you're likely to have more medical concerns and maybe financial concerns. And those are, you know, real in many ways. You have to also address them. And how might someone look at something like that?
Well, I think that's, you know, again, something where basically when we get older and we are dealing with, you know, the fragility of our bodies, of course that can be very scary. And, you know, as a physician, I often saw how people that, you know, were maybe never in the hospital all of a sudden felt completely powerless and very, very scared by, you know, just this new environment. In fact, one of my first patients that, you know, when I was still in medical school was an old farmer that came to the hospital in his mid-60s, first time pretty much at the doctor's because he had broken his leg. And he was so terrified, he was so scared that he didn't want to have his leg operated on. And, of course, the doctor said, you know, no problem, it's going to be fine, it's a very routine operation. But he was literally in a state of panic, and I was certainly, you know, really concerned about him because his fear and his constant repeating, well, if they operate, I'm going to die, if they operate, I'm going to die, you know, was disconcerting. And, well, the operation went really well, everything was good, but then the next morning he was dead. And so for me, this was something that I often wondered, did the fear that wasn't really addressed cause the system simply to shut down? And what I learned from this was that we do have, as you know, patients, really the obligation, the responsibility to make sure that we have a sense of empowerment, that we don't feel like, well, it's all in the hands of the medical system. So whatever you can do to really educate yourself, to also look for a second opinions, alternatives, to really stay on a path where you know my body and my health is my responsibility and it's also in my hands. Sure, I need some help, but I also need to take care of it myself.
So maybe it's that word you used, just that sense of empowerment that might lessen some of the fear and anxiety?
It is one of the most important, you know, you could call it antidotes to fear and anxiety, feeling empowered. You know, it's just also what we talked before, somebody who may have a problem with, you know, their identity loss after really feeling, well, I was in a, you know, I was a business owner, I was in a managerial position, and now I don't have any power. Bringing power back in their life is very important. You know, whatever that means, you know, it can be power over your health. It may be power about, you know, inspiring others. It can be power over, you know, just your house, or maybe you get an animal that, you know, it's not about, you know, overpowering the animal, but it's feeling like, you know, there is a connection there and you, you know, you're guiding and guarding this animal. So whatever brings you a sense of power and responsibility is definitely something that is alleviating this anxiety.
Well, that's really an important point because of all of the systems that become part of your life, whether it be Medicare, whether it be Social Security, there are things that one starts to feel are somewhat out of their control, but indeed the people can wrap their arms around something like that and not let it drive them. Rather, they can drive it if they become empowered to do it.
Yeah, you know, and I think the second part of or the second very powerful you know, antidote to anxiety is also trust. And trust means not necessarily trust in, you know, like say luck or a higher power. It's also trust in yourself. You know, and this is where people, especially people that are getting, you know, into the retirement age and seniors, often have so many reasons to trust themselves because they have a long history of solving problems, overcoming difficulties, learning new things. But very few of us take time to actually look at these resources and look at, wow, look what I actually can, you know, tap into. What's there for me to, no matter what happens, I can figure it out, attitude to develop. So one of my recommendations is always to sit down and really take an inventory about your accomplishments, about the talents you have, the skills you have learned, you know, the problems you have solved, the adversities you have overcome. Really just look at how powerful and how much you have accomplished, and that builds trust and confidence and really lets you look into the future with much greater ease.
Well, Dr. Shah, before we run out of the time that we discussed, I just want to check on a couple of things. First, what kind of steps, exercises might someone do, because you want to address this maybe before you have that fear and anxiety. So are there different exercises or recommendations that you have?
Well, I think one of the, most simple exercises is simply being aware of your self-talk, what that means is you're just looking how you talk to yourself, how you communicate with yourself, and that can be one of the major anxiety triggers. Many people either have a rambling inside of their head that just predicts, bad things in the future to happen, or looks into the past and really regrets everything that they did wrong. Or there may be a voice inside of you that's very critical, or just a very pessimistic voice. That's not, again, something that you consciously make up. It's just more like a bubbling up from somewhere in the deeper parts of your mind. And being aware of this negative self-talk and really just, checking on it and asking yourself, is it really true what I'm saying here? And does saying this really serve me, or does it just cause me more anxiety? And if you can, then steer these thoughts into the opposite direction, just really re-guiding your thinking. So if you're predicting something bad to happen, really just re-emphasizing, first of all, you don't know. Second of all, right now, everything is okay. And third of all, if something should happen, you have the resources to deal with it. So just really being aware of, I am actually causing the anxiety through my thinking very often. What I noticed is in my practice, when people do work on their self-talk by stopping the negativity and redirecting it, usually with just a couple of weeks of inner work, the negative self-talk reduces by 70 to 80%. So that's already a huge chunk of anxiety triggers that you get out of the way.
Well, that's a powerful message, and it's certainly better than people who may end up self-medicating and drinking and right. Doing things like that to who might find themselves in a sense of despair.
Right. Well, and I think when you do really deal with anxiety, and when you feel like, well, there's just an uneasiness inside of me that I cannot get, somehow in control, also realize, and I think that's a very important message, that anxiety is not your enemy. Anxiety is not a disorder or a mental illness. Anxiety is a symptom. It's a symptom like pain is a symptom. And if you have pain, you wouldn't just ignore, the pain, or you would medicate the pain and then not look for where the pain actually comes from. That wouldn't be really advisable. And that's the same with anxiety. So make sure that you actually go to, a place where you're investigating. Am I anxious because of past unresolved issues? Am I anxious because I'm still believing the world is not safe, or I'm not good enough, or are there some core beliefs that just create this anxiety? Or am I struggling with myself? Very often anxiety is caused by an inner battle that many people can relate to, a battle between a confident side, and then there seems to be a side that's just so negative or anxious. And that battle can, especially when we get older, get louder and somehow also more disturbing. There are all ways that we can overcome these problems, and reading, for example, the book is a good start.
Well, that was my next question, Dr. Shah. What would be the takeaways in the last few minutes that we have that you would hope someone would be able to benefit through the book, and how it would make their life different in their senior years?
Well, I think, anxiety is a great opportunity for us to grow. So usually when we do have anxiety, in all these examples that I mentioned, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the outside, and it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. It may just mean that you are somewhat out of balance and that you haven't really, found your center again. And if you really pursue healing anxiety and looking at anxiety from a different picture, you actually will grow from it, and you will find a much greater fulfillment in how you relate and how you appreciate yourself. So anxiety is a huge opportunity for greater wholeness.
And it takes work. It doesn't just fall in your lap, does it?
No, it definitely takes work. And even when you are, you know, feeling anxiety, it doesn't have really an impact on you anymore. To keep the balance and to keep the centeredness, especially in our busy world right now where we are bombarded by so many messages and pulled in so many directions, it takes daily discipline. I mean, you know, we are brushing our teeth every day, so we just have to take care of our mind every day and freedom.
Well, that's great. Well, I sure appreciate your time. I think that it was real interesting and very informative.
Thank you very much, and I wish we had more time.
Thank you, Dr. Schaub, and I would love to talk to you again sometime soon. We've been listening to Dr. Friedman Schaub and his book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, and we thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts. You can click on the transcript section of the website. You can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Finally, we would love it if you could leave a comment, good, bad, or indifferent, in the reply section of the podcast. Thanks again.